welcome back to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm here tonight with Riddell Warner, who is a Trinidadian artist, currently living in Austin, Texas, with his wife, who's finishing her PhD, who is an art historian and used to work at the National Art Gallery in Jamaica and a curator. So again, another you're going to be a power art couple. You're going to be one of those power art couples that everybody's like, oh, poor Riddell and Hal. And we are lucky enough that they will be coming to the Bahamas next week to open Riddell's show, which was supposed to open tomorrow night, but due to a little shipping hiccup, is not happening, but next week. So just stay tuned to Turn Gallery's website or their Instagram page. You can go to, Instagram is just Turn Gallery, at Turn Gallery. And their website is www.turngallery.com and see the updated information for the opening of Riddell's show. It will be up for at least 8 weeks. So you can also, if you can't make it to the opening, come see it. And those are his more recent works, which we were sort of beginning to talk about, which is called his Augmented Archive. And that's a kind of combination of digital animations of just sort of forms. I don't know if you just build them out of your brain or they're based on anything, and sort of overlaid on archival images, many of them vintage images that are like from an earlier time. And then above the characters, they're these, like, again, these how do you describe them? These little kind of animated objects that look like, sometimes they look like might be a butterfly, they might be a fractal. They're just like a weird geometric colored shifting shape.
Yeah.
And again, like I'm like, what? I'm always trying to make, I'm like, are they, is that the person's guardian angel? Is that their spirit? Is it like a thought bubble?
I love all of those interpretations of it. I think about all those things too. I just love what happens when I put one of those things over a person and like find one that seems to resonate with them. And then I get to show that to other people. So I just like what happens when I do that. And it causes me to think about all these things too. You know, the movement often feels like the movement of the object, or often feels like the movement of a living thing, like a fluttering. And then depending on the,
sometimes I feel like they might be halos.
Yes.
Again, they're looking at these historic images of people that, you know, were suffering and, you know, are living a certain life that, like, really, you know, was probably involving some kind of trauma and pain. It feels like a sort of, maybe they're being sanctified, you know, maybe they're again, so there's so many, like, it depends what the image is, because some of them are images that are, you know, of, so it's really interesting how this kind of shifting shape takes on different meaning somehow depending on the image.
Yeah, I feel like often it makes you think about some sort of this, in some way, the interior life of the person. So even if it's you know, in some images, you know, some pictures are just happier than other pictures, some, you know, but always I feel like it makes you think more about the person, and it makes you think more about like what might have been happening at that time. And in a way that maybe if you saw the picture without the object, you might not think about it in that way. You might only think in terms of what the picture is presenting. I feel like this invites imagination about the people in the pictures, and causes to think about or imagine more or see more about what their experience might have been, imagine more about what their life might have been.
Yeah, it's like their internal life, because I think they're often in historic pictures. You look at them, and I think also, I'm going off tangent again there, but it's because it's a moving image. So to describe it to the viewer, you know, he's taking a static image, but the little kind of fractal thing is animated. So it's glittering and popping around above the person's head very often. And I think it brings like life as well, right? So I think very often when you look at an old, especially when they're sepia tinted and they're not colored, you know, there's a distance that happens, and you sort of look at those images and you're like, oh yeah, that's history. And like you said, you sort of look at the whole image, you take it as an object almost. The image itself is sort of an object. Again, it is static. It is kind of musty and back in time. And there's something about putting that sparkly little character, which, you know, it brings it forward.
Yeah,
feel like it's alive somehow.
Yeah.
The image itself isn't moving, this little sparkly character. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, totally. That's how it feels to me too. And that's why I do it. Like, and I often, like, you know, often while I'm making one or after I make one, I go back and look at this still black and white image just to feel the contrast of the two states, because the motion, and I also include a kind of flickering. Like I do things to animate the image. I do things to make the image feel like a living, like a moving image, even though often the person in the picture is not moving. There's a sense of movement and a sense of vitality that feels to be added to the image, which encourages, again, imagination about the person's life. And you know, when I started making these things, I was interested in writing about it. And one of the things that I was thinking about is that, so the animated object that you're looking at, for you, the viewer, and for me too, looking at this animated object, that's something that's happening in the present. Me looking at this object and enjoying the motion of the object is something that's happening right now. It's also happening to the person in the pictures. It's depicted as though it's happening in the picture as well. And so what you're looking at in the picture and what appears to be happening in the picture is also happening to you. Or something is happening is what I think is one of the important aspects of it. Even though it's an old image and a still and whatever, at the moment that you're looking at this animation, something is actually happening in real time right now with the viewer and the image.
Yeah, so do you feel like there's almost like a connection to the person?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really, and that's, I think, also in a way, it's another way of, we have an artist here who actually, she has a show on at the NAGB, so maybe you can pop in and see it when you're here.
Cool.
Her name's Tamika Galanis, and she does a lot of work with archives too, but a lot of her work is really trying to restore even the names to the people. So she came across an archive of photographs taken in the Bahamas in the 30s. I believe it was the 30s, but could have been the 20s. And it was an anthropologist who got turned onto the Bahamas by Zora Neale Thurston, and came and took all these pictures, and then they ended up sort of in an archive in Washington D.C. And Tamika sort of stumbled across it, and no one really knew what to do with it in America, because they were like, who are all these people from Cat Island in 1920? And she actually went to Cat Island and took the photographs and tried to get people to say, oh yeah, that's my grandfather, this is his name, and try to really give people their names back, because so often, wow, even the kind of well-meaning anthropology, it stripped people of their personhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have that a lot here with those images, you know, of, you know, happy, quote in quote marks, Bahamian ladies at the market, you know, 19 with the, you know, fruit on their head.
Mm-hmm.
They're when they're in a postcard, it's almost like they're objectified, right? They've just become an object of,
mm-hmm.
And somehow what you're doing is similar in this one. You're almost giving them back an identity, even if you're not giving them their name or saying, okay, mm-hmm. I found this person's name. It's like you're saying, this person isn't just here for your record. This person isn't just an archive. This person.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, well, first of all, let me say that I follow Tamika on Instagram, and I really enjoy her. She posts about her work, and mm-hmm. I really enjoy the work that she does. And, like, I'm really inspired by the work that she does. So I'm happy that she has a show on, and I'll be able to see it. Other thing is that what I really think a lot about when I find these images and when I'm working with these images is that, in the same way that I can imagine that, you know, these are like, these pictures, they're pictures from, you know, decades ago, sometimes 100 or more years ago, from the Caribbean. People move around the Caribbean. These people are the people who produce the children, who produce us. These are like, these are our ancestors. These are people whose lives impacted our lives, and
mm-hmm.
and we are connected to them, but, you know, there's no record. And so we don't know, but we can imagine the connection. We can know, we can remember that we are connected in that way. And so I do agree with you that what I do with the pictures does create a sense of identity for these, for the people in the pictures, because, you know, they're not just anonymous people. It's easy to mistake the image for just an old picture, mm-hmm. or these are just some people, but really these are some people that we're very closely connected to and whose actions and decisions and lives shape ours. And so it's just, it feels valuable to me to remember that and to think about those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you approach deciding, you know, I guess it's such a hard question for an artist. Like, how do you decide to do anything? But like, what kind of color it's going to be? Do you feel the people like speaking to you in terms of like, this is their character? Like, how do you decide what kind of shape to give them and what kind of, that must
okay.
be difficult.
There are so many decisions to make. So it starts with like which pictures to choose. Mm-hmm. And so often I try and find pictures that maybe from a technical perspective have lots of space in them so that there's lots of opportunity for me to kind of shape the story that I want to tell with the picture. Mm-hmm. I really like pictures. If I'm lucky, I find pictures where people aren't doing any kind of work. Like mm-hmm. often lots of these pictures are like people with their tools or with animals or working. And so like, while it's, yes, a part of their life and also with exploring, if I can find candid images or images where these people are not just kind of recorded along with the tools of the day and this and mm-hmm. or like the work, then there's more opportunity for me to tell a more complex story or to create an image that invites more imagination mm-hmm. than simply the sort of original presented story of like, you know, this is somebody who's driving a donkey or this is somebody
yeah, exactly.
who's killing well, the forest.
And then that also creates, they become defined by their labor and not defined
yeah.
by
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Once I find an image that kind of works technically and that might create an interesting story, I then like try on different objects or I often make an object for that person in that image, and I try different things. I try different shapes. I try more rounded shapes. I have a process of generating the shapes by making a two-dimensional image that I then kind of blow up into a three-dimensional object that I animate or rotate it and things like that. And so I try different things, and I just play with it, and I just spend time with it. And when I'm and then I go away from it, and I look at it the next day, and I give time to it and just try different things. And then if I spend enough time with it, eventually something resonates, something feels correct. And I don't want to change it anymore. I like what's happening and I want to show it to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. you know, it's done. That's beautiful. Now just getting off those particularly, cause you also did a series previously. So we kind of skipped a phase. But I remember there were some photographs I saw on the website, and then also when you were in Basel in Switzerland, part of the Caribbean Art Initiative there, and you actually created this, again, these sort of like amazing animated shapes, but you were actually projecting them on living people.
Yes.
Was that a kind of four step before the archive, or was that?
Well, they kind of happened parallel to each other, because mm-hmm. when I generate this, so these objects that I make, this process that I have for making them, I end up making a kind of material. So I start off with some photos. I start off with pictures, and I blow them up into three-dimensional, virtual, digital, three-dimensional objects. Once I have those objects and I animate them, I can then take the frames of the animation and make like a fabric. I can make patterns. I can do all kinds of things with them. So one side of my processes, I create these animated objects. Kind of on the other side, I take these objects and I deconstruct them and create patterns. And so I work with this digital material. Mm-hmm. And so I do different things with the material. And I've been doing those different things kind of parallel to each other. So mm-hmm. on one hand, I'm doing these interventions with the photos. But on the other hand, I'm exploring what else I can do with the material. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is I make patterns that are animated and I project them onto myself and other people and make portraits of them. So going back into photography again.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that they, in the same way that the augmented archives somehow add a layer of understanding to the human, do you feel that like that brings something out? Like when you've
yes.
done portraits, do you feel like you've learned something or it's brought a side, or, you know, that seeing the person through this kind of veil almost, or?
it causes the person, and I've done it to myself too, so I can also speak from experience, it makes you look at yourself in a different way. So mm-hmm. I'm projecting onto your own skin, onto your body, an image that changes the way that you look. Every time that I've done this as a public installation, I have included a mirror in the center of the installation, so that mm-hmm. as it's projected onto the person, they can see what is happening. They can see how they look. And what I take pictures of is this person seeing themselves in a new way, seeing their own body dressed in a new skin. And so that's what I offer in those installations and what I capture in the pictures of those installations.
Yeah, I actually still have mine. So I my life's very complicated. I have two Facebook pages just because I'm lazy. I thought I'd have one that was personal and one that was professional, and then they got like mixed up. And so now I just have two, and I don't know anything about it. But on one of them, I still yes. have the photograph from Basel, because I was yes. lucky enough to be in one of those installations. And I still
yes, that's where we met.
And
yes.
it's actually one of my favorite portraits, because I feel like you don't see me, but you do. You almost see more of me by seeing less of me.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. It's it's a guise.
Yeah, you're not like stopped by the hair or the face. Or, you know, it's like you just like you're looking at something different. You're looking at like the planes of. I don't know. So it's really interesting that you put it that way. Because I was always trying to think, like, why do I love that picture? But I think it's because, like you said, it shows you in a different light and a way that you've never seen yourself before. Mm-hmm. Because we're all, and especially now, oh my gosh, the age of Zoom, it's like you're just looking at yourself all day long.
I know, find it yeah. very
weird. Yeah, very weird. I mean, really, like there's some days I'm looking at myself all day because I'm on constant Zoom calls. And that's mm-hmm. a very strange thing to do. So I like that thing about those images. Maybe, you've got to make a filter for us so that when we're on Zoom calls.
Yes, that sounds like I'm actually very interested. Like there's a lot of tools I need to learn how to do this, but yes, definitely I'm going to do this.
Okay, perfect. So then I can like put that on, and so I can just be on my Zoom call with my awesome Riddell Warner, like
mm-hmm.
you know, transformative thing. So believe it or not, we've almost come to the end of the show. So I just want to tell people to come see your show. I really enjoyed having you here tonight. Riddell Warner will be exhibiting at Turn Gallery, which is out on the west end of New Providence. You go down West Bay Street, turn up the hill to where Island House is, and Turn Gallery is there right before you get to the hotel. The hotel, and it's a very beautiful little space. And Riddell is going to have a show there next week. And then you can actually, if you're interested, you can go to Riddell's website, which is riddellwarner.com, which is RoddellWarner.com, and you can look at a lot of the work that we've been talking about. And then also, let me see if I wrote these down properly. You can go to his Tumblr pages, mysterycycle.tumblr.com. Is yep. that it?
Mysterycycle.tumblr.com. Yeah.
Mysterycycle or toomucheyes.tumblr.com.
Yep.
I'm going to go check those out like right after the show. And I just want to say, like, I can't welcome you to the Bahamas tonight because you didn't get here yet. But we welcome you to the Bahamas when you do get here. And we're really excited to see you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I so enjoyed doing this show. Thanks for having me. I really mean it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. So everyone listening, come out. You can meet Riddell. He will be here next week when he comes. We are going to be having everything very socially distanced. So don't worry about that. And if you can't come to the opening, you know, go visit the gallery, look at the work. It's really fantastic to see in person. And aside from that, of course, support all your other art spaces, The Current, the National Art Gallery, Dungalik. You know, there's so many. And I always say support is often just showing up. So, and it's a fun thing to do. And the art community here is actually full of like really pretty nice people. So don't be, I think sometimes people are intimidated by art. There's nothing intimidating about it. You could hear Riddell and I just yucking it up all night. So come on out, right? Come on out and meet us and enjoy it. And that's pretty much it from us. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You met Riddell Warner. So Riddell, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. And you have been listening to 96.9 Guardian FM. Thank you for listening and have a great night.